Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Is this bad boy on there, Jake?
It is.
All right. The headphones are acting funny, but I'll be all right. Welcome into the Adam Carriker Show. It is not a Victory Monday, Jake. Was it doom and gloom all weekend in your house? How was it?
It was a great weekend of college football. I don't know. I'm interested to see how people kind of react and did react. I know a lot of people are mad day of. Monday now, are we getting around to, okay, close game, the top 25 team? Or are we still, hey, there's so many missed opportunities?
So what you're talking about is the Nebraska football fan grief cycle. I actually talked about this in one of my shows over the weekend. And it kind of just came up impromptu because I was like, oh, it's not as bad as it seems. In the moment, I was mad. But you start to look ahead. It's like, hey, we go beat Michigan State. We're 4-1, and then I stopped. I was like, wait, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We have to go through the grieving process. The grieving process, and you know, I'm kind of having fun with this, but there's a lot of truth to it. It's also normal, natural human reaction and emotion about something you're passionate about, like Husker fans are with Nebraska football. It's you're really mad in the moment. Should have won the game. This went wrong. That went wrong. Why did we do this? Why did we do that? Why did we not kick the field goal on the first drive? Other folks love that we went for it and showed aggressiveness. And you're really mad. Then about a day later, you're like, oh, that really stunk. But man, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Then about 48 hours later, you hear from Rule at his press conference, which we'll react to an hour or two today. By the way, loaded show, as you might expect. I bombarded you with 4 clips. What, with about 20 minutes before the show? So we got clips to get to. We've got stats. We got facts. We've got analysis. I want to hear from your fine folks at home. I have no idea what happened. I just assumed that I had dominated the picks again this weekend. How did I do? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I wouldn't say dominated.
Yeah. I know I got a couple wrong. Frickin' Clemson. Anyways, and a couple other teams as well. But the grieving process, like, then Tuesday rolls around. Okay, you know, maybe it's not as bad as it seemed. We did this well. We did that well. Then by Wednesday, you start to look ahead. By Thursday, Friday, oh, man, we're going to, you know, we still got the chance to win a bunch of games. By Friday, Saturday, we're going to be Big Ten Conference champs and national champs again. Is that not the natural, like, week-long grieving process that Husker fans go through after a loss? Like, you got to go through the grieving process. I don't know if there's 12 steps. I don't know how that equates to this, but does that make sense to you? Is that kind of the process as you've experienced it?
It certainly is. And it's also just interesting. Again, I always go back to what are your preseason expectations?
Yes.
What are you,
yes.
Because that can go a long way into how you're feeling and how upset you are about a 3-point loss to Michigan. And then the other thing is, and it's unfair to Coach Rule. It's unfair to this team. That 28 game losing streak. I mean, I think Husker fans, it's just so much, you know, going through. By the way, Rutgers have lost like 41 of those in a row. So it can be worse. Hopefully it won't get worse.
So they're the reason we have the second longest active streak.
That's
thank
right,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Piscataway. Yeah. Go ahead.
So thanks to Rutgers for that. But it's, you know, and that's what it is. I mean, it just feels like it's not just this game, right? It's all these games coming close. Nebraska's always close and just can't make the plays to win. And again, you know, I always go back to Tim Miles and when he's at Nebraska and he basically said, you know, don't put all that voodoo on me. Don't put all that because, you know, years and years of history and frustration in Nebraska basketball. I've never won a tournament game. He said, no, that's, I just got here. And of course it's year three. So, you know, it is start time to pick it up and start winning those. But yeah, I mean, I think that's what a lot of the frustration still comes from.
Do we have anything off the text line yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right, ladies and gentlemen, text in. Where are you at in the Nebraska football fandom weekly grieving process after a loss? And there's no right or wrong place to be. I'm just curious where you're at. And are you one of those fans who kind of has that roller coaster ride throughout the week? Of course, now it's going to be 2 weeks. We got a bye week. So this gets to stick with us a little bit longer. I will say this about don't put that voodoo on us. First of all, Matt Rhule has been a part of this now. This is year three, as we've talked about a million times. There are some things that obviously predate him, but when you take over a job, you take on the job, what's happened before you as well. I mean, if you just took over a team that won a national championship, that's going to be baked into what you're doing in the future. If you took over a team that's 0-12, nobody expects a national championship. So you get the benefit of that as well. I would argue Matt Rhule gets the benefit of, hey, you win 8-9 games. It's a jump for joy. Not jump for joy, but it's a successful, happy season. Tom Osborne literally said the hardest part of his job was convincing Husker fans that 9-10 wins wasn't a losing and or bad season. So it goes both ways. You get a little bit of benefit of the doubt both ways. Does that make sense, Jake?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Forgot to do the regular intro. I came in hot today, man. You know that. I came in hot. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Adam Carriker Show. Unfortunately, not a Victory Monday edition, but I'm curious, where are you fine folks at after the Michigan loss? Is Michigan better than we thought? Is Michigan Michigan and we just got outplayed? Did you feel like this was a game we were right there, hat in hand? Had we scored just any points on our first two drives into the red zone? Do we win? Is it a game where, in your mind, hey, we got lucky with the Hail Mary and they dropped two touchdown passes? It really wasn't even that close. Like, where are you at in this? And then where are you at in, I'm just going to call it, the Nebraska football fan weekly grieving cycle after a loss? Where are you at? There is no right or wrong answer to all this. I'm just curious what people think, say, and how they're feeling right now. What's that number there, Jake?
402-464-5685.
All right. Are we getting bombarded? Just say yes. Makes me feel good.
We do have several texts.
All right. Let me read this, and we'll get to the text and roll a couple of clips. Hour one of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTEL.com. All right, what do we got off the text line, Jake?
All right, we'll rattle through them because they are flying in now. Unmatched Texter says, now that these guys are getting paid, they need to be held responsible. Mm. He points out 57. I'm not going to read it all the way, but he's not happy with the offensive line, specifically Elijah Pritchard.
So, I have always, and I will continue to do so to a degree. I've always talked about collegiate athletes incredibly different than professional athletes. A large part of that was due to the age. They're more mature. This is what you do for a living, and they were getting paid millions of dollars. Collegiate athletes, to be clear, not all of them are getting paid millions of dollars. Let's be very clear about that. But there is NIL. There are some guys getting paid six, seven figures. And I do think that it is fair to change the standard for collegiate athletes and what they once were. Now, do I treat them the same exact as a pro athlete? No. But do I treat them the same exact as I did before? No. It's somewhere in the middle. There is a higher level of accountability. When you're looking at the offensive line, which it did not go well Saturday, I don't think I am surprising or breaking, surprising anyone or breaking news with that assessment. And that is putting it kindly, from averaging 1.4 yards per carry to allowing 7 sacks. And I know there are folks who are like, man, Dylan's got to run and Dylan's got to get rid of the ball faster. Sure. Can he do things better? Yes. 11 touchdowns to one INT, and he threw for over 300 yards in that game. Are there things he can do different and he can do better? Yes. This is not on him, though. I've gone back and forth with several people on this. My takeaway after the game, I'm going to start with something positive. That wasn't my intent. I was just going to roll into whatever the comments were and react. After the game, that's the best. Okay. If I get assassinated for this, like, online with words, keyboard warriors, that's fine. In a football analytical sense, that's fine. I walked away from that game feeling the best I've ever felt about Dylan Raiola. The first games, 6 games last year, we hadn't faced the toughest competition in the world. The second 6 games last year did not go great for the team as a whole. Now, we beat Wisconsin, won the bowl game, etc. Dylan struggled. I stood by my guns and said what I said all the way from the preseason. He's a true freshman teenage quarterback. You can't speed up the learning process. Through 3 games this year, I still think Cincinnati's better than most people believe, but we don't know how good, and they're probably not a national title contender. Akron and Houston Christian are what they are. So it's like, all right, what have you proven? You look better. You look efficient. You look more in charge. You look more like you're comfortable being a leader. Against Michigan, he had no run game to help him. He had very little pass protection. And even when he wasn't getting hit or sacked, the offensive line was getting knocked into his lap and hands in his face. I felt better after Dylan Raiola on Saturday than I have at any point. And dare I say he earned some respect from me. And I have been very surprised at the reactions I've gotten. If I'm being honest with you, I love fans. And they're probably my favorite part of doing shows. But if you talk to some fans, they agree. If you talk to some fans, they vehemently disagree, which was surprising to me. Now, I've talked to multiple analysts, and even Josh Pate. We're going to play one of his clips. I didn't know what he said. I listened to his show, said, hey, Jake, let's play this. And as I'm listening to it, he's like, I don't know how Dylan threw for 300 with guys in his face and in his lap. I'll be honest with you, interviewed Osborne. He said the same thing. That was my takeaway. Now, are we right? Maybe. Are we wrong? Maybe. I don't know how people put this loss on Dylan. When you look at the run defense, when you look at the rush offense, when you look at the pass protection and the things that we didn't do well, how do some folks arrive at Dylan? I don't get it. Can he get rid of the ball a little quicker at times? Yes. I will point this out. Let me ask you a question first. How often do you think Michigan blitzed on Saturday? Because they were in the backfield a lot. How often do you think they blitzed?
I didn't need to.
Yes, often. That is my point.
Yeah.
Did they blitz? Yes. Did they also get sacks with 3 rushers on one play? Yes. 4? Yes. They didn't have to blitz a ton, which means they're dropping 6-7 guys into coverage. So if you want him to get rid of the ball quicker, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I dissected the film from Dylan Raiola's perspective. But my guess is the guys weren't open right away, and his option was to either try to hold it, make a play, or just launch it out of bounds, probably about 5 to 10 more times, which maybe he should have done. I don't know.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I did not plan on starting with Dylan right off the show. And I want to get back to that texter. But what is your take on this? Are people texting in on Dylan? And then we'll get back to the original texter, the offensive line, NIL, etc.
Well, it's interesting because he definitely got more. I mean, this was a national game for Dylan Raiola. So nationally, there's all sorts of opinions being thrown around about Dylan Raiola. So naturally, I think the local market starts to, you know, wants to get in on those conversations. But as far as you know, what this game kind of broke down to, I agree with you. It was the line play on both sides, angles from the secondary, even missed tackles, stuff like that. But Dylan is far, 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 far down the list. Now, the sacks, that's who he is. He's not going to be the most mobile guy in the world. He worked on that in the offseason. You can only do so much. That he's for the most part, a pocket passer. I mean, that's what he's going to be. So if you don't have the protection for him, you're going to get a lot of sacks. For his performance there, we saw some other guys get sacked several times. Luke Altmyer got sacked 7 times. He threw for 146 yards in one touchdown.
Did you see that massacre coming? What Indiana did to Illinois? It was 63-10. I quit watching after it was like 56-7. I'm like, what is going on? Did you see that massacre coming? By the way, what idiot predicted Illinois to win that game? Who'd you take?
I didn't take Indiana.
You did?
I did not. I would not have said 63-10.
Jeez. Anyways, back on track. I could not believe what I was watching, and I cannot stand Kurt Cignetti all the more now. Just, wow, fantastic. Can you coach some football, and can you talk some trash about Nebraska? And I don't like it, but go ahead.
And how about that, too, all offseason? Who's the next Indiana? Who's this year's Indiana?
Yeah, it's Indiana.
It's Indiana.
It's freaking Indiana.
Indiana appears to be it. But back to the point, like Oklahoma sacked Jackson Arnold 10 times. He threw for 220 yards and a touchdown. Nobody really threw that many picks out of the three, which is pretty good for all of them. But just pointing out, Dylan had a heck of a game. I don't know, and I'll say this about that Ja'Cory Barney throw up the seam. I don't know if we've had a quarterback that could have made that throw since maybe Zach Taylor. Mm. I mean, so there's a lot of good to come out of it. You know, when you kind of break down the field from Dylan, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, yeah, you're going to move which way, but to your point, it's not just the sacks, it's the constant pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how much credit does he get for incompletions or completions through fearing for his life? And at some point, that's what the point was too. It's like, at some point, we know this, when you start to get a quarterback that much, usually rattle him. He didn't seem all that rattled. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got, you know, it's just what he is. He's a pocket style quarterback, and they had an absolute advantage on the edge.
So I'm going to be more blunt about Dylan than I think I've ever been. Since the day he walked in, he was pretty much the assumed starter. Not saying he didn't have to earn it, but he was pretty much the assumed starter. Okay. Starts all last year. I will still advocate they should have done more with Harburg as a Wildcat quarterback, all right, last year, but that's neither here nor there. You come into this offseason, he's everywhere. He's everywhere to be seen. Is that good? Is that bad? I don't know. I said all offseason, if that's part of the package that is Dylan Raiola that wins football games, did I not say this like a million times?
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm good with the package. But if you lose, it's going to be viewed way differently, and you're going to be left wide open. Now, let me get to my point. He earned more respect from me on Saturday. He didn't have a ton of help. It's a big-time game. It's a very good opponent on a national stage. And to your point, he never once looked rattled. He handled himself about as well as he could. Could he do things better? Absolutely. He's still a sophomore, man. Now, he was a five-star with high expectations, and he's been everywhere. He didn't win the game. So, Adam, he didn't win the game. That's the part of the package you said was the most important. This is why he earned my respect, because there wasn't a lot of help. I'm not like Ja'Cory Barney was phenomenal, and there were other guys who did things. Emmett ran hard. Like, I'm not saying nobody else didn't do anything. The offensive line, goodness gracious. he did his part. He did his part. I don't know how else to put it. We did not win the game, but he did his part. He earned more respect for me on Saturday afternoon than he had at any point up until then, because that's the most difficult position he's been in my opinion, including last year, because he's a freshman and I've got built-in grace for him. There's less built-in grace this year because there shouldn't be, just like there should have been last year. And he earned more respect from me on Saturday than he had at any point, because that's the most difficult position he's been in. And could he have done better? Yeah, sure. I don't say yeah, sure, like, yeah, sure, I don't know. Like, yeah, sure, he could have. But man, this ain't on him. And he kept his composure. And as far as we're down 10 points, he leads us right down the field for another touchdown. Play action pass, touchdown flat, a touchdown pass on the flat to Heinrich Harburg. You know, we're down 10 to nothing. We get a field goal. He hits Barney to tie it up. Yeah. Sharon Moore, you cost your team at least 7 points by not being here. Thank you for the Hail Mary opportunity and capitalization that we had. By the way, shout out to Ja'Cory Barney. You know, he caught that at the 1-yard line. not in the end zone. He had to fight to get in. If he doesn't fight, he's down at the one. It's 17-10 at the half. So this is not a Dylan Raiola soapbox. I've been surprised at the reaction I've gotten on my take on Dylan Raiola. And people know that I'm honest. People know I don't mind irking people if it's truthful. People know that I don't mind being wrong. If you prove me wrong, I will own it. Have I not done that several times on this show? At least, you know, once, you know, at some point. Because I'm wrong about once a decade. Ha ha. And people know that I will change my mind. Nobody has presented a case to me yet that has changed my mind. If somebody presents a case to me that is worthy of a mind-changing result, then I will give it to them. Until then, I will stand on this hill with the few people that are with me, and that is my position. Now, is there anything off the text line from that? Because I didn't intend any of the, I was going to get to that at some point, not right off the top. I figured we'd get to the trenches right out the gate. I'm not surprised by that. We're going to come back to that. But is there anything off the text line? Like, how mad or in agreement are people with me on that Raiola take?
Trey Texan says, I genuinely believe that Dylan is the best quarterback in college football. He'll be in the Heisman conversation by the end of the season if he keeps playing like this and gets us to 9 wins. Is that what you said?
Whoa. Whoa. I said earned respect. Not saying he can't, but I'm not sitting here saying that right now. Now, that's what he's saying. That's his opinion. I'm cool with that. All right. And 9 wins is still on the table. I've said 8 is success, 9 I jump for joy. That's still all on the table. Go ahead, Jake.
A couple other thoughts here. Aiden says, because people say he needs to get rid of the ball quicker, but it's hard to do that when the pass rush is in his lap within 2 seconds and he's trying to let routes develop or there was no time. No one was able to get open.
And they're dropping 6-7 guys into coverage because they don't have to blitz to get pressure on you. All right, go ahead.
5-7-6-9, Raiola's first pick of the year looked predetermined.
Like the throw was predetermined?
Yeah.
Perhaps. And we haven't had the toughest competition up to this point. And let's be real. Cincinnati had a drop pick 6 when we played them at Arrowhead. But still, that's technically his first pick of the game of the year, and it's 4 games in. So a little bit of, I don't know, things happen sometimes right there. But go ahead. What do you have, 3 touchdowns?
Yeah.
And 1 pick on Saturday. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
9476 says, you're absolutely right, Adam. Nice to hear someone say it. 4661 says, Dylan earned respect. His uncle lost respect.
I'm not going to argue with that. That's a conversation we can get into at some point as well. I'm just going to let that comment sit out there because I don't disagree with go if there's anything else.
All right. See, Munden says, and I think this one's interesting and the big question. I think Dylan played as good as any quarterback with an offensive line like that. Is our O-line that bad or did they play an off game? If we are actually as bad as Michigan made us look, we're in trouble considering we're in the Big Ten.
I'm not going to buy into the off game. I don't see how 5 guys can collectively have an off game. So either we are just not that good. Or Michigan is really good. My gut tells me, first of all, we can get better. So this bye week coming up, I'm going to come back to that. And then we're going to come back to the original Elijah Pritchett NIL thing. Not Elijah Pritchett, but the whole, he's part of the offensive line NIL thing after the break. This bye week can be handled a couple of ways. You can give your team a few days off, take a little bit of a break. Or, man, you can hammer down and you can scrimmage and you can, I don't know how you would handle it. But I look at it as we basically, with all due respect to Akron and Houston Christian, our starters didn't play the second half of Houston Christian. They didn't play the last quarter and a half versus Akron. That's 3.5 quarters they had off. I felt like we had a bye week coming into Michigan, with all due respect. But when your starters sit out 3.5 quarters out of the last 8 quarters prior to Michigan, that's like a bye week. So as far as I'm concerned, we are healthy, knock on wood, okay? We are fresh, and we need to get better. I am telling you, these would be like fall camp practices for me. You don't have to have a million of them. A typical bye week, you have Monday off, you have Friday off, and the following weekend, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you practice. Typical bye week. Man, those would be like fall camp practices. It is not panic mode. It's not panic mode. It's guys, we need to get better right now mode. We need to get better now. That was not good enough. We were physically handled. Physically handled. We are going to get physically better during this bye week. That's how I would look at it. What about you, Jake, before we go to break here?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would like that. You know, I mean, you got the extra time to do it again. It's interesting though, just to kind of see how do you react again, because you want to make it a bigger deal than it is. You know, you lost by three, or do you look at it as, like you said, you can say we were close and it was close and this and that, but it's line play. It's line play in the Big Ten, and that is for a lot of people. That's why I think there was frustration. It's like, man, they might have some things to make up for it, you know, in different games, but it's going to be a struggle, you know, against the better teams in the trenches.
My approach to the bye week as a coach, I wouldn't add more practices than I already had planned. They're just going to be fall camp-esque type practices. By God, we might scrimmage a ton. I wouldn't look at it as, oh, we just lost two games. No, Michigan, it's worth one L in the last column. Now, it feels like more because not every football game feels the same, because some have, there's more intrinsic value in some football games than others, okay? Like when we come in to talk about Michigan, we know people are going to be much more interested than when we talk about Houston Christian. Okay, fair to say?
Yeah.
So it's still worth one L in the loss column, not two. But I'm looking ahead and I'm like, other teams are going to watch that film and they're going to see what Michigan did and they're going to try to do the same thing. By the way, it's not all that different than what Cincinnati tried to do. And Akron had a certain amount of success as well. They're starting running back average 5 yards per carry, just a reminder, Akron's did. And I'm looking ahead and I'm saying, it ain't panic mode. I'm not making Michigan a bigger deal than it was, but we got to get better. I'm getting better because of the next eight games in front of us, and we need to get better because of the next eight games in front of us. That's how I'm looking at it. All right, we will come all the way back to the original text that we got and respond to that after this break.